Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I shot a note to retired Major General Paul Vallely earlier this morning. He is scheduled to... Oh, good, he's already on the phone lines. All right, okay, great. Yeah, I reached out to him, I think very early this morning or late last night, and I said, hey, given this news out of Syria and the fall of Assad, would you want to join us on the show to give us your take? Because, of course, retired Major General Paul Vallely is a great voice on military and national security topics regardless. But I also remember having a conversation with him when he was in Syria, when he was on the ground and talking with some of the Syrian rebels there. So looking forward to getting his great insight. Yeah, we've got retired Major General Paul Vallely with us. From Big Fork, Montana. In fact, actually, let's just jump right into it here since he called in early. General, great to have you on the show, and thanks for joining our friend Denny Reberg on the program last week as well. Sorry I missed you.
Well, no, that went great, and I appreciated the invitation from Denny. Old friends, love the guy, and he needs to really recharge his batteries, get back in the private sector, and he's going to do very well. And I know his family's happy to have him back. But anyhow, if we may, let me go back to 2012, Aaron, to set the stage for what I'm going to tell you. I was asked by 12 Syrian generals who defected from Assad in 2011, 2012, and formed the Free Syrian Army. And they asked me to be their advisor. So I flew into Turkey, then down to Antakya, where the generals were working out of, just across the border from Syria, actually 1 mile. So I met with them, and they asked me if I would go into Aleppo with them. So with 400 men of the Free Syrian Army, I went into Aleppo, and the objective was to overthrow Assad at that time. So I asked the Obama administration and the Defense Department, the Air Force, for air support, because the Russians and the Syrian air forces were bombing the hell out of the countryside, and they needed air support. The only thing they had was some shoulder-fired missiles that they had taken from a Syrian army depot, and they were well-armed, over 50,000 at that time. And they controlled almost all of Syria, but they couldn't get to Damascus or Homs. And so this time they have organized, reorganized, gained strength, gained weapons and trucks and whatever they needed. And these same generals, headed by Major General Turki, T-U-R-K-I, have now, of course, taken over Syria. They are going to form a...
well, I'll tell you what, General, hold that thought. Yeah, hold it. Yeah, that was a fascinating introduction. Hold that thought. I got to take a hard break here. This is just the quick show open, and then we'll talk more with you. A longer segment coming up right after this as we talk with retired Major General Paul Vallely, a distinguished career. Heck, 20 plus years ago, before I went to the Middle East, I got a chance to meet up with him when he was a Fox News national security correspondent at the time. So stand by.
Securing America.
At the recent Reagan National Defense Forum, one of the panel discussions focused on how best to deal with Iran and its support of proxy terrorist groups such as the Houthis. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst, a veteran who served in the Middle East, says to start with Iranian funding for terrorism.
To degrade the Houthis, we need to go back to their financial supporters, their backers.
The senator also says the U.S. needs to take a harder line.
We've got to get serious about this. The Houthis need to fear us. They don't fear us. Hamas certainly didn't fear us.
Senator Ernst adding,
we have to show strength. We have to mean it. We can't make a red line in the sand and then not do anything about it.
Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Michael Herzog, also advocated tough action against Iran because
Iran is not, you know, the 800-pound gorilla that everyone thought it is.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Is the city of Missoula finally cracking down on the transients invading and overrunning city parks? Well, we'll find out on Monday's Montana Talks. Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica, she'll kick off our statewide show. Plus, we're going to talk nuclear energy with an expert from the Idaho National Laboratory and much more. Later in the week, State Senator Tom McGilvery talking about judicial reform and concrete proposals. Proposals moving forward. Big week ahead. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I had to chat more with General Paul Vallely there during the break to say, did you just say what I think you just said? Because everybody is trying to make sense of what just took place in Syria and the fall of the Assad regime. You know, his family had brutally run that country for something like 50 years, and he's been a puppet for the Russians and the Iranians. And so I had to say, I had to confirm with the general. I said, so, General, did I hear you right here that the people that you met with somewhat 12 years ago, that those are the people that are responsible that for taking power and for kicking Assad out of the country? And, General, you said, yes, that's exactly what is happening. And nobody in the Western media apparently understands what just took place.
Yeah, no one in the media that you watch do not believe anything you see in the Western media that is being taken over by Al-Qaeda and Islamists. It's not true. So the group headed by General Turkey, they've been very successful. They've run the Iranians out of the country right now. And as I may have mentioned, Israel has helped them to the point where they could conduct these attacks. So Israel's been very much involved. So when you look at the situation now, Assad and family, they landed, as I understand, in Moscow. That's where they're taking refuge. I also heard the majority of the Syrian army that was left will join the new they're calling it sort of the Syrian Democratic Army. Now they changed it a little bit, so you may see that, or the Free Syrian Army, which it was. But these are marvelous Syrian generals. I know them all that are involved in this. Another general I know was the Brigadier General Manaf Slas, and I met him in Paris on two occasions, and he was the head of the Revolutionary Guard for Assad, and he defected to Paris. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and I think from the standpoint of what President Trump has said, we do not get involved. They're in good hands right now. They're going to form a military council to govern the country until elections can be scheduled and put together later on in 2025.
Very interesting. And you would agree with President Trump's assessment there to just keep the U.S. government out of this, let them handle it, don't screw it up, basically?
Exactly.
Yeah. I threw just kind of my, you know, uneducated theory or assumption at you. I say uneducated. I mean, obviously, I read the news a lot, but I haven't followed the Syria situation as closely as, of course, you have. And you've been on the ground and you're meeting with these generals still, talking with them on a daily basis. But it seems to me that Iran, you know, they decided to, I'm just going to say it like the Joker would say it, Iran decided to step on their cranks and go after Israel and be a part of launching that brutal terrorist attack against Israel. And Israel took the fight to them and to Hezbollah and the rest of them. And Israel's been kicking their butts. So Iran, was a little distracted, so they couldn't back up their buddy Assad in Syria. And then Putin and Russia, well, they've been so distracted with their war in Ukraine that they couldn't back up their little buddy Assad in Syria either. So now these rebels took advantage of the situation and have taken power.
That's right. I should understand that the naval base at TARDIS, and then they have an Air Force base just north of there run by the Russians in Latakia. So we'll have to see how that. I'm not sure that they have left at all. I think they're still there, but I'll have to get that confirmed. But you should understand the next nation to fall will be Iran. They're planning that right now. And Iran does really not have a strong military force. They're not well led at all. So I would say Iran's the next downfall in 2025.
Very interesting. And of course, they've already lost some of their key leaders over the course of the past year or two at the same time.
Yep.
So from your assessment, these are friendlies that have taken over,
right.
You know, because that would explain why. I've seen a couple of other things in the news. I saw a story where apparently the U.S. government has launched airstrikes in parts of Syria, but those have been against the radical Islamists. So they're basically the U.S. airstrikes have been targeting on them to keep them out of it. So that's one thing that's happening. The other thing I saw is that Israel has overtly crossed into Syria. I'm assuming that Israel's already been in Syria and been very active in Syria, but they're overtly in Syria now, according to another headline I saw.
Well, they could be from the Golan Heights in there. They're probably just patrolling, that's all, in case there are any remnants left of the previous Syrian armed forces. They're just protecting the Golan Heights at this time.
Interesting. What else do you think is the most – we've got about one more minute before we take another hard break here. What's the other interesting big story here that's not being covered?
Well, I think the idea that we understand that we've got to do with these radical Islamic states and they've got to disappear. And Israel's done a fantastic job of neutralizing Hamas and Hezbollah. And so there's a lot of positive things here, but they all see President Trump coming into power. He's going to support what needs to support to get the hostages out of Gaza, for example. I think you're going to see more on that. But keep tuned. See what happens with this new military council that will be ruling Syria and see what their next steps are.
Very interesting. All right. Well, General Vallely, hold that thought. The other thought that just came to mind is I wonder what the reaction was like when President Trump won the election last month in November in America. Did the rebels in Syria see that? And was that a big morale boost for their efforts to topple Assad because they knew that a new sheriff was going to be back in town on the world stage? All right, back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will the budget games in Washington ever end? Tough-sounding budget rules are easily overcome by the fertile bureaucratic brains of Congress. Those rules keep score on the deficit impacts of legislation over a 10-year span. No problem. Spend like drunken sailors for the first 8 years and then pull in the reins in years 9 and 10. Filibusters blocking your path to passing new legislation? That's easy. Pretend like your bill merely modifies existing legislation to use so-called budget reconciliation rules that work around that roadblock. All this from the town that boasts about reducing deficits, deficits that remain hugely negative, or spending cuts that maintain galloping growth. The federal government is like a household that makes $50 a week and spends $62, and any responsible conversation about how to change that is quickly declared toxic. More revenue? Ever since George Bush told us to read his lips 30 years ago, it's untouchable. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. December is National Impaired Driving Prevention Month. The National Safety Council says weekends and holidays can be dangerous times on our roadways, and that two of the most celebrated days of the year, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, are among the most deadly. That is why December is recognized as an awareness month. The council also noting it's not just drinking alcohol that can cause impaired driving. Drugs like opioids, marijuana, even some over-the-counter medications can cause drowsiness and alter vision, mental judgment, and motor skills. That's in addition to fatigue and stress, which can also impair your ability to drive. Montana Highway Patrol, among the many state agencies across the U.S., reminding drivers to stay safe and sober. They'll be increasing their presence on that state's roads through January 1st. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
What's...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this was a write-up from Fox News Radio earlier this morning. Several of our radio stations here that are affiliates of Montana Talks are also Fox News Radio affiliates, and so I'll get their daily rundown of their articles. President Biden, considered by some as the lamest of lame duck presidents, addressed the collapse of the Syrian government on Sunday, calling Assad's downfall a, quote, fundamental act of justice, while acknowledging the risks. He affirmed U.S. support for Syrians through humanitarian aid. Biden also confirmed U.S. strikes against ISIS in Syria and expressed belief that missing journalist Austin Tice is alive. Meanwhile, President-elect Trump urged the U.S. to stay out of the conflict, with VP-elect J.D. Vance echoing that sentiment, saying, "This is not our fight." Trump also warned Putin to secure a ceasefire in Ukraine and suggested that Ukraine might receive less aid under his administration. General Paul Vallely, retired Major General Paul Vallely, again, great to have you on the show this morning from Big Fork. So, what have you been hearing from your contacts on the ground, the generals that you say, led this successful takeover in Syria? Were they, what was their reaction to President Trump getting elected back in November? I've got to think that it's a boost for people who want to see more peace in the Middle East. It's a boost for freedom-seeking people around the world.
Well, the spokesman for the new military council, I can check with him today and see what he's reporting. But I know from what he has said before, they have been very, very energized by President Trump. And knowing that he full well knew Assad had to go at some point in time. So that confidence was there. And I think that probably helped him go ahead and initiate the offensive operation against Assad. By the way, the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation back in 2012, we actually prepared a rebuilding of Syria, since many of those towns and cities and were destroyed by air power back in 2012. And a lot of them were devastated, even when we went into Aleppo. So I think from that standpoint, we'll update that rebuilding plan to rebuild that country now, and I have some interest from some people in Europe who want to participate in that. And who knows, maybe we'll be a big part of that restoration as well.
Yeah, God, now I want to go back and find, I'll bet I still have the audio of our conversation from back then when you were on the ground in Syria. It'd be fun to go back and listen to that now, and especially given the news that just took place here. So they've taken power. How do they hold on to it? Can they hold on to it?
Of course they can, because they control the whole country now. They control every city, border to border. They will, as I said, they have formed a special military council who will govern until elections can be put together for the entire country. And you got to realize that it's all inclusive now with the generals. They want to include all the people, and the people have rose up and supported them, as you saw, as they swept across the country from east to west. So it's a very positive thing, and I'll try to keep you informed as much as I can, and we can come back on and do updates whenever you'd like, Aaron.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I enjoy getting your Stand Up America, Stand Up U.S. Newsletter and updates, because you just sent out another interesting one over the weekend, and then, of course, this big Syria news came out. I've got to think... I think what a lot of the everyday Americans don't see and hear, out of that whole region is because, again, the mainstream media, they always want to throw America and her allies under the bus, right? I don't know what it is. It's not just that they prop up the Democrat Party, but they always want to throw America and what's in the best interest of our foreign policy and our national security under the bus as well. And so obviously this appears to be good news for Israel. Like we talked about earlier, Iran was trying to attack them and they fought back and hammered them. And so Iran wasn't able to prop up Assad anymore. Russia's been distracted. But even for like the Saudis, you know, for the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, this has to be good news for them as well, because, you know, before Joe Biden got installed in office, we were on the path towards peace across the entire region with these historic peace deals between Israel and these Arab governments. And then, of course, the mainstream media and Joe Biden started attacking the Saudis and put that to a halt. But I've got to think that the Saudis see this as a positive development as well.
Yeah, it's all positive now over there in the Middle East. But also, I should say, Turkey has allowed these generals to live in Antakya, just across the border from Syria. So they've been able to put this together in a safe zone in southern Turkey. And Erdogan, of course, he wanted to see Assad go. So we'll see what happens to the Kurds over there and some of these other groups. But I think these generals have made liaison with all of the different groups, and they'll fold together in a united Syria.
What else do you want to share, General? The only other thing I thought that our listeners might want to hear from you, I'm very pleased to see that President Trump is not backing down. He is standing behind Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense, a fellow veteran, somebody who has called out this war on our warriors and all the woke DEI garbage that has been harming our military recruitment and retention efforts, the COVID shot, all this other garbage that's been going on. I saw a great piece from the Federalist.com this morning saying this is the hill that Trump should die on, because basically don't give the left, don't give the media a scalp here. Stand up for Pete Hegseth. Get him across the finish line. And then I think Tom Cotton said he's got the votes. All of President Trump's nominees are going to have the votes.
Yes, we need to make sure Pete gets in there. He's a great guy. He's great experience. And he's covered a lot of things while he's been in with Fox News as well. Wrote a great book. But they have put together some individuals that are going over which generals and admirals should be removed. You'll see that more forthcoming after he's elected. They'll remove a lot of these woke generals and admirals from the Pentagon. And there's a restructuring plan that we've given Trump. We want to change the Department of Defense to the Department of the Armed Forces of America. Do away with half the political appointees in the Pentagon. We don't need them. There's such duplication of staffs in the Pentagon, it's unbelievable. And we want a command-driven armed forces, maybe commanded by a five-star general who reports to the president, and get rid of a lot of the duplication in the Pentagon, save a lot of money, and restructure how we deal with the defense industries.
Well, yeah, and of course, you're a retired general. As a retired general, do you feel like the title has almost become like a bad word now? Whereas it used to be such a title of respect of the American people, but now there's been so many generals and admirals that have become such a letdown, and in some cases just embarrassments to this country, that it's almost put a bad negative tinge on the entire title.
Oh, it has, and it's affected recruiting, reenlistments. The other organization we put together is the MacArthur Society, and maybe we can do a separate show on that and what it's the effect it's been on the academies in West Point, which is the new MacArthur Society.
Yeah, that'd be fascinating. I think it was either in Cash Patel's book or maybe it was in Pete Hegseth's book, but he also talked about how we need to rename the Defense Department to the War Department, or you talked about the Armed Forces. Yeah, something.
I like Armed Forces of America.
Yeah. Yeah, because it takes away this idea that, because defense is all we do is play defense. All we do is wait to respond. Even though that's not the case, it's not how we've operated. That's right. The appearance that it gives.
Yeah, we've gone on the offensive in all these unnecessary wars. What's that tell you?
That's right. Well, General Vallely, it's always an honor to chat with you and always great to get your insight. Anything else you want to tell folks about this development in Syria? I know we've had, you know, Montana troops on the ground in Syria. In fact, I reported on a CENTCOM press release a few years ago, the 163rd here in Montana, in their Bradley fighting vehicles. Those infantrymen did an incredible job combating an ISIS attack on a prison in Syria, and they put those Bradley fighting vehicles to work. So I know we've got Montanans who have been on the ground there.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to remove our soldiers over there at two or three different locations in eastern Syria. I think they'll be able to come home after Trump takes over.
Well, that's great to hear. Oh, I had one question just come in on the Montana Talks app. Tammy in Billings, where did they get the weapons? Can you share that info?
Yeah. Well, the Syrian Army Armed Forces, they had weapons depots spread across the country for their forces who were previously there prior to 2012. So the Free Syrian Army was able to neutralize those depots and take the arms from them, ammunition, communication devices, and that's how they got armed for the 2012 offensive operation. And they continued to do that, particularly the outpost in Aleppo. They took a lot of weapons from the depots there.
Yeah, just to take over the arms that are already in the country instead of having to worry about buying them or importing them. But you did tell me off air, though, that the Israelis have been very helpful and others have been very helpful in the development of this Free Syrian Army.
Yeah, including Turkey.
Including Turkey. Yeah, very interesting. General Vallely, appreciate your insight. Always an honor. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Aaron. Glad to help.
All right. Yeah, say hi to all our friends there in Big Fork and the beautiful view you've got this morning. All right, we're going to take another quick break here on Montana Talks. You know, it's rare that we would have such a great lineup, we always have a great lineup, but it's rare that we would fill the show with guests because, you know, the best part of the show is just taking phone calls and more. But with so much going on right now, we have a great lineup of guests that will continue for the rest of the show this morning. Coming up right after this, Mark Lauder, a former special assistant to President Trump. Remember when he joined us in studio before the elections? He'll be with us right after this. Brett.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great conversation there with retired Major General Paul Vallely talking about the Syria situation. We also got a phone call earlier this morning from Dr. Mehrdad Kia at the University of Montana. You know, he fled Iran when he was young, just as the Shah was falling. And so I can't wait to hear his insight on these developments that took place over the weekend as well. But let's jump right into it. We've got Mark Lauder already with us on the phone lines, former special assistant to President Trump. He is now the America First Policy Institute Chief of Communications, and he also was the Director of Strategic Communications for the Trump 2020 campaign as well. Mark Lauder, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us.
How you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm counting the days. 42 days, I think it is now. Like many Americans, we can't wait to get President Donald J. Trump back in office. But he's already racking up some wins just because of the election alone.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I mean, you would think that he's already the president. When you look at the way the world leaders reacted to him when he was in France at the opening of Notre Dame this weekend, whether it's watching Canada and Mexico, you know, basically come hat in hand and say, what can we do? Do not, please do not sanction us. We'll stop the flow of illegal immigrants and drugs. I mean, people are really realizing that there's a new sheriff coming to town, and his name is Donald Trump.
That's right. And then he was practically manhandling French President Macron with the handshake there. And Justin Trudeau, the pretty little prime minister of Canada, had to go, you know, quickly, you know, kiss the ring down in Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, Trudeau's one of the most wacko leftist leaders out there in the world today.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. I have my daughter and our grandchildren live in Canada, and I remember driving up there in Winnipeg and Manitoba and seeing Trump flags prior to the election being out, and so many people when out and about and they found out what I did, they would come up to me and tell me how they, even though they live in Canada, they wish that they could vote for Donald Trump. And they wish Manitoba was, you know, was the 51st state. And I mean, it's, but it really shows though, if you deliver strong leadership, whether it is at the national stage, whether it's in the state level or even at a city level, if you tell the people what you're going to do and you actually get it done, they'll respond.
Well, and they can also see how, you know, look, if things go bad in America, they quickly start to go bad everywhere else. I saw the same thing. I was doing events all across Montana all year long, and you know, we were, you know, bashing Bidenomics and calling out, you know, Bidenomics and the failures on that front. And so I did a lot of events in, you know, border towns with the northern border, and we run into Canadians. They're like, well, we're from Canada, so, but we're all with you. We're all with you on what you have to say there. So, but maybe they're close to finally kicking Trudeau to the curb as well. How do you see things developing thus far with the inbound Trump administration, especially when it comes to border security?
Well, you know, I was there in 2016 and in 2017. I actually walked into the Oval Office with Donald Trump for the first time as president on January 20th, 2017. And it's really night and day when I look at this transition compared to the one that we had in 2016, 2017, because you know, Donald Trump was an outsider. He ran as an outsider. He did not have a whole cadre of senators and congressmen that were running with him. In fact, many were running from him. And then all of a sudden when he won, you know, he didn't have that whole deep well of people that he'd been working with and had worked with him for a very long period of time. So we got stuck with a lot of people who would now be called rhinos or folks who were more interested in getting Donald Trump to adjust his thinking to their worldview rather than the other way around. This time around, it's not the case. You come in, you might have your own opinions, and you are free to share them with Donald Trump because he wants to hear from all sides. But he expects when he says go, you go do it. No more of the back channeling, no more delaying. He wants to get it done, especially when it comes to the border.
Well, and that's what I've seen. You know, I read all week long, all day long, it seems like, doing a show like this. I'm sure you're the same way. So I finally downloaded a couple of audio books because I'm like, I don't want to read. That's all I do is read. I want to take some time off. So I listened to Pete Hegseth's book, The War on Warriors, and to Kash Patel's book, Government Gangsters. And it's clear why President Trump picked these two men in particular to lead their respective agencies or departments, because these guys not only can identify the problem, but they have plans to fix these institutions.
Yeah, you know, one of those dangerous things, and I've seen this throughout my career in politics and public service, is what we used to call going native. So when you get there, you'd get elected, you'd put your people in these government agencies, these city, state, federal agencies, and they have a tendency to go native, where they're basically now kind of shifting their views to that of the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy is telling them, this is how we're going to do things. This is what we're going to do. We've been doing it this way the entire time, and that's why we're going to keep doing it this way. And you see it with these picks, whether it's Kash Patel, whether it's Pete Hegseth, whether it's others. They're going in, and if your answer to them as a bureaucrat is, well, we've always done it this way, guess what the response is going to be? No more. Or you're going to explain to me why you do it this way and actually whether it works. Because if it doesn't, we're changing it. And I think that's the mindset they're going into it with. And I really am looking forward to seeing what they have to do once they get in office next month.
Speaking of what works and what doesn't work, I think everybody is loving the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk leading that effort, a proposal to reduce $2 trillion in federal waste. I mean, even one of the Democrats in Congress who said he wants to be a part of this DOGE committee acknowledged the fact that, look, we're spending $2 trillion more than we're bringing in every year. We simply have to do something.
Well, yeah, and the biggest secret in Washington, D.C. is that we don't have a revenue problem. Revenue's gone up. Even after the Trump tax cuts, revenue did not go down. It went up. We have a spending problem. We spend too much money. And you know, it's the old axiom in politics and government that once you create a program, it never goes away. Well, that's what the Doge is going to go find out. It's like, well, why are you still doing this the way you did it 15, 20 years ago? Have you thought about modernizing? Have you thought about automating? Have you thought about using more computers? Or have you actually thought about actually solving the problem rather than just spending money on the problem? And very looking forward to having Vivek and Elon Musk, business people who bring a business mindset into the government, because too often we see government leaders, they really don't care about solving their problem. They just want to keep their funding from last year. They don't want to get it cut. They want to get it increased. So they just keep going on and on with all of these programs, many of times that don't have anything to do with anything that's even relevant anymore, but you can't stop doing it because then you'd lose money for it.
You know, I was just thinking here, I know you probably got to run in a second here, Mark Lauder, but you didn't get a chance to do a victory lap here in Montana yet. You know, you came to Montana, you did a great job calling out Liberal Senator John Tester. He got defeated massively by Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. But also, I remember when you were here in Billings, Montana in late August, you told the crowd, you said, guys, Trump's polls in all of these battleground states, I'm telling you, he's doing way better than what they're telling you right now. His polls in all these battleground states are better than they were in 2020, better than they were in 2016. And you nailed it, Mark.
You know, I'm going to have to find a way to do that. I'll have to get back out there, maybe come in the spring or something. You know, I'm not really a snow person. I might have to learn. But once it starts to warm up a little bit out there, we'll see if I can get out there and do that. That'd be fun. You know, I love coming to Montana.
Yeah. Well, that was such a great event when you came out. But, well, thanks again for joining us once again. Always great to get your insight. Mark Lauder, former Special Assistant to President Trump. All right. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Let's see. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. We can sneak in some of your phone calls here before we wrap up the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica. So the city of Missoula is now saying they are going to crack down on these transients taking over city parks and setting up tent cities inside city parks. Are they actually going to do it? Is there some teeth behind these new laws and these new rules? Or are they just pretending that they got the message from the voters 1 month ago? We'll talk about that with Sandy Vasica. Plus, nuclear energy. What about nuclear power for Colstrip as an add-on to the energy hub that is Colstrip? An expert from INL, the Idaho National Laboratory, will be with us. How many of you have had some luck this hunting season, had some luck during the normal hunting season? How many of you are still waiting to get out there during the shoulder season? How many of you are thinking, I can't get out during the shoulder season either because, well, I got this shoulder. So can you imagine me trying to haul a deer or an elk out with this shoulder? Or maybe it's those hips or it's those knees. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're somebody who is dealing with pain in your joints, give a phone call to QC Kinetics. You can get a free consultation and find out more about their regenerative medicine, where you can get over the pain without the drugs, without the surgery. QC Kinetics, give them a call, 406-201-6263. That's QC Kinetics.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I noticed today, Lake and Riley's. You know, we all know Lake and Riley, Rachel Moore, and Jocelyn Ungary, but there are literally hundreds of other Americans that have been murdered by Harris, Biden, unvetted illegals. Why doesn't the left think of that? Why don't they care about that? Or the hundreds of Americans raped? Or the thousands and thousands of Americans that have been victims of violent crimes? And what has happened to this party? How did they evolve from where Obama and Hillary, you can't disrespect the law. We have people that are terrorized that are trying to get into the country. We can't have that. How did it evolve into this party of free sex change operations?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Last Chance is happening right now. Don't miss out. Up to 45% off site-wide, plus free professional measure. Now, avoid the home renovation overwhelm, a nightmare. Now, swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings, it delivers big results. And Blinds.com, they make it simple, easy, and they make it affordable. With Blinds.com, you shop online, you don't sacrifice quality, style, or service, and a Blinds.com professional expert available to help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. They handle everything from measuring to installation. As a matter of fact, you can get your whole home installed for one low cost. Anyway, don't miss Blinds.com Cyber Monday. Last chance going on right now. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus get free professional measure only for a limited time. Blinds.com, 45% off site-wide, free measure today, and check it out now. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Offer subject to credit approval.
Is the city of Missoula finally cracking down on the transients invading and overrunning city parks? Well, we'll find out on Monday's Montana Talks. Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica, she'll kick off our statewide show. Plus, we're going to talk nuclear energy with an expert from the Idaho National Laboratory and much more. Later in the week, State Senator Tom McGilvery talking about judicial reform and concrete proposals moving
radio. JabraEnhance.com/radio.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, I just thought about a quick frago for the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get to a couple callers here this hour with the last few minutes that we got left here, but we've got Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, plus that guest from INL. But I thought, I'm going to see if we can sneak Dr. Meridad Kia in there. So I just shot him a note to see if he could join us around 9:20, right after City Council member Sandy Vasica, because that insight from General Vallely was so interesting. Now I really want to hear what Dr. Meridad Kia has to say about this whole Syria development. So we'll see. Maybe he'll join us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Let's go into the phone lines. We've got Ron in Shepherd first up. Ron, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment about these judges and stuff downtown Billings here. They're supposed to have, before they take their oath of office, they're supposed to have bonds. They're supposed to be bonded. And I went down there, and they said, oh, you have to get freedom of information form. And that's not true. 2-9-506 says any person that requests the bond, they have to have a certified, give you a certified copy of it. And, in fact, in March and September of each year, the county commissioners are to inspect all the bonds to make sure they're up to snuff, and nobody's doing it. You tell anybody about it, they don't care. They won't listen.
Huh.
And
so this is before they're sworn in, they have to post a bond?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. That's correct. But Denny Reberg, when he, I think when he took over last week, I think it was the first day he was on, he had some guests, I think, from Colorado that were lawyers, and they were helping. And I was busy, and I kind of just half heard the radio. Time I got a pencil and paper, it was over. Is there any way I can find out or get a name or number?
You know, the best thing you can do is go to MontanaTalks.com or download the Montana Talks app. He had on, I want to go back and listen to it myself. He had on, this was the Mountain States Legal Foundation, one of their lawyers, incredible organization. We've had them on the show before as well. So if you missed it, go back and listen on the Montana Talks website. Just click the On Demand button and go back to, I think it was last Monday. You can click See All Episodes. It'll pull it up. The Mountain States Legal Foundation was in studio with him. So thanks for checking, Ron, and that's a good reminder for me. That's one of the episodes I want to go back and listen to still as well. Nancy in Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Montana Talks family. Well, I'm really burned up over this illegal immigration thing. I've been telling you that my one grandson, and he has lost his job at Stellantis, his Grand Cherokee manufacturing job is going to Mexico. January 5th is the last day for his plant to be open here in the United States. And I want to tell you something about Mexico. I don't think they should be given a free pass. I don't think we should actually forgive Mexico or Canada for what they have done to us. They have fleeced us. They've been a parasite for decades, and I'm sick of them. Now, I want to tell you something about China. China has been manufacturing equipment for our Jeeps and our tools and other things, and they're inferior products. And Mexico has allowed them to import these inferior products. So they've been putting them into vehicles and tractors and lawnmowers and shipping them to the United States, knowing that they are inferior products. Now, I think that we should boycott Mexico. I don't think President Trump should allow them to get off. Boycott them, because 37 million Americans still visit Mexico a year. Tourism is big. Americans spend billions of dollars in Mexico. I will never forgive Mexico for what they have done to us, nor Canada. And I'm going to tell you right over the air, I'm not an American who's afraid to tell Mexico and Canada both to go straight to hell.
Well, I'll bet you when President Trump gets back, I mean, some of these changes are already happening before he even gets in power. But I'll guarantee, I mean, look at John Deere. They threatened to move jobs down south, and Donald Trump called them out. They quickly reversed that plan. So I think a lot of these plans will soon get reversed when, if not before, Donald Trump takes the oath. All right, thanks for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will the budget games in Washington ever end? Tough-sounding budget rules are easily overcome by the fertile bureaucratic brains of Congress. Those rules keep score on the deficit impacts of legislation over a 10-year span. No problem. Spend like drunken sailors for the first 8 years and then pull in the reins in years 9 and 10. Filibusters blocking your path to passing new legislation? That's easy. Pretend like your bill merely modifies existing legislation to use so-called budget reconciliation rules that work around that roadblock. All this from the town that boasts about reducing deficits, deficits that remain hugely negative, or spending cuts that maintain galloping growth. The federal government is like a household that makes $50 a week and spends $62, and any responsible conversation about how to change that is quickly declared toxic. More revenue? Ever since George Bush told us to read his lips 30 years ago, it's untouchable. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.